Okay, so morning, guys. So Chad has already introduced me, Colin, my wife Nikki, and my two boys, Zach and Dylan. I just want to honor them for, you know, just being an amazing family. I'm very thankful for the family that God put me in and, you know, just who they are. So today I'm going to share a little bit of testimony from my life, and to me it was so beautiful. And almost a little scary to know that what God has done now and again, just what he's done in my heart in preparation of this. And I say scary because I'm going to try not to cry all the way through this. Yeah, so let me start. So basically, I'm going to be sharing on the character of God and specifically his love and how it arrested my heart, and it has never let me go from the moment that he saved me. So here goes. So basically, it all starts, my story starts at a camp that I was invited to under false pretenses, but let me just go into the details of it. And where the story starts is me walking into a building, and there's about 300 to 400 people. I can't tell you exactly how many, but there was a lot of people. And we had guys worshiping like extravagantly, like we saw this morning. We saw guys' hands in the air. There was flags flying. There was stuff that I didn't grow up as a Christian at all. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know church at all. Like, the closest thing to it was a Methodist church that my parents went to when there was like a wedding or a funeral. Like, that was pretty much what we knew, and we were Methodists. But anyway, so I didn't know anything about God. And, you know, my life went very wayward, very wayward. But we're not going to go in those details now. But where this ends up is I walk into this building not understanding what I'm seeing. It's so strange. So strange. And what's interesting about this is a couple of minutes before this, literally a couple of minutes before this, I was in a bathroom with a knife ready to take my life. Just a couple of minutes before that. And I asked this question. I said, if there is a God, like I said, it's going to be hard to do this without crying, but I'm going to give it my best. If there is a God and you are real, I don't look like these people. So I didn't have a regenerated spirit. I didn't look like them, obviously, but I didn't understand that. And I said, if you're real, you need to come and you need to change my life forever. It needs to be something real. And God sent someone, drew me out of that place. And I walked into the building, and this is now that building, 300, 400 people worshiping God. How crazy. And I remember walking in and being, I was actually, the week before, I was applying for a job at a EMI Records, which is a music studio, because I knew music pretty well. I was very excited about a music career, all that kind of stuff. And I thought that was what I was going to do with my life. And I walk in, and I don't know any of the songs these guys are singing. And I'm like, immediately, it's that disqualification again, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not these like these people, right? And interesting. And we talked about this morning about those moments. I can't remember the word you guys used, but I presume it's an inside thing. But I call it the Rhema moments of God, the moments of God. And a moment of God happened in that time. And to this day, I'm so thankful to the guy. His name was Cornelius van Heiningen. And he was leading the meeting, and he was leading worship on a piano. And while he was leading, beautiful songs, amazing, everyone's literally having the best time in God's presence, he says, in the middle of a song, he says, stop, to everyone. And everyone's like, what? It literally felt awkward. Even me, I was like, what are these oaks doing now? And in that moment, God said, I hear you, Buti. I hear you. And then the guy says, you know what, we're going to sing. Oh, thanks, buddy. My boy. Anyway, so he says, let's sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And I'm broken because the only time I learned a Christian song in my life was my Oma when I was 5 years old. And she sang that song to me, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And in that moment, the love of God hit me like a ton of bricks. But the interesting thing was, as it hit me, as his kindness hit me, to know me, to hear me, to, and I never said it to anyone. He heard it. He responded. He heard it. He responded. And I think this was the beauty in it, you know. I couldn't but repent. Everything, my whole life, for 3 hours, I was on the floor in a puddle of tears, as I am now. And God's kindness and his love were shared with me for the first time. And I knew that there was a God who loved me, and that he was real, and that he heard, and that he saw. And that was the first one. Then, literally, the next morning, I wake up at this camp, and I feel lighter. I feel excited about whatever's happening. I don't know what's going on. I just know I'm excited. You know what I mean? I'm like, just so you guys get an idea of the age, this was when I was 19 years old, 20 years old, right about there. And I just turned 20. And I wake up, I'm excited, and I don't know what's next. You know, I'm like, okay, what's next? What do we do now, you know? And I go out, and then the love of God was shown to me a second time. And these are the two testimonies I'm sharing. There's so many, guys. I could, like, come and hang out with me and next, come and have coffee, come and have lots of stories. But these were the first two moments where God shared his love with me. And the second one was this. And this, to me, blows my mind. As three guys said, you know what, we want to show you love. We want to come, let's go one side. Let's pray together. Okay? That in itself was weird for me. It was like, who goes and prays together? Like, random. Who are these people? But God. And then, anyway, so they prayed for me. And as they laid their hands on me, and as I knew that God loved me, because they said to me, you know, anything that's on your heart, share it. Share it. Not that they knew what was going on, but God baptized me in the Holy Spirit in that moment and said to me, and I spoke in the tongues. And these guys said to me, cool, do that. Like, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. So they explained to me, they showed me in scripture. I'd never read the scripture. Said to me, this is praying in tongues. And in that moment, it was like God said, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to love you all the way through this journey, buddy. And you need to be okay with me doing that. You know, and I think that was so beautiful. So those were the first two moments of God showing his love to me practically. And I just, yeah, so I'm going to delve into it a bit more, but I just felt like I have to start there. I have to start with a place of, this is what God's love is practically in my life. So in that, I learned that God does not just love as an act of love. He is love. His very essence, the person that he is love. He doesn't just extend his hand out to us. And in something that I've seen, and I still see it every day, is how in this world, love is used like a currency. We find that if you're successful, buddy, I'll follow you. I'm with you. But if you're not so successful, I'll leave you. And that's not God. That's not God's love. He's absolutely unconditional in his love. His love is completely different. If we read Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I don't know if you can put that up for us. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And I feel like that's God's heart, is he's faithful to us regardless. He just keeps coming. He's like a freight train of love. It's nonstop. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. And it goes deeper than you could ever imagine. So God does not love us reluctantly or passively. He doesn't. He loves us with a covenantal, eternal, and unshakable affection. That's who he is. He's unshakable in his love for us. It's consistent. And I mean, this morning we felt it, didn't we? We felt the love of God starting to pour out on us today. So, yeah, love of God cannot be earned. It's not something we earn. It's who he is. And as we connect with him, we see it and we experience it. I want to read another scripture for us. And this is the love that chose the cross. Romans 5, verse 8, actually. But he demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that was my story. I mean, I didn't deserve any of what happened in that moment when God saved me, loved on me. I mean, I was at that point to the world and to those people around me. I mean, I was a drug addict and someone who sold drugs. I was actually a drug dealer. That was my occupation at the age of 20. You know, I had fronts, but that was who I was. And God said, you know what? This is my boy. I love him. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And I don't really care what you think about it. because I love him. And that is God's declaration that stands at the center of history, which says that this is how much I love you. The cross. I gave my only son that you can experience and understand love. Come on, guys. This morning we sang that over and over because he is. He's at the center of eternity saying, here I am. I love you. Come into the favor. Come into the year of the Lord's favor. His God did not wait for us to act, for us to get our act together, to sort out our lives. How many of us as the NG groepie, kry jou saak reg, kom jy dan kerk toe? I mean, that's not the God that we know. That's not the God that we serve. When we were still running from him, he came after us. When we were running away, he was coming after us. The blood on Calvary was not spilt accidentally. It was poured out intentionally. That is costly love. And I think there's a lot of us here today, and maybe even with what Chad was sharing and saying, but I have failed him in some way. I don't feel lovable. Like, I'm not good enough for this love. There's something in me that might be broken or not working or in my own mind. I'm here to say to you today, I had nothing together. Today, as I stand here, I still probably have nothing to give except Christ. Every good thing that's in me is Christ, if I'm honest. That's what it is. It's just him. And the interesting thing is the gospel answers back to those hearts that say, I am far from God. I don't have what I need. I'm not good enough. I'm not able. The gospel answers back in Romans 8, verse 39. I'm going to read a part of it first. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not your sin, not your shame, not your secrets, not death, not life, not angels, nor demons. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you guys hear that? There is nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of God that is consistently running after you. Come on. If you're in Christ, you are no longer, you are held by a love that is stronger than death and that is deeper than the grave. This love that disciplines us, yes, but it doesn't desert us. Even in the discipline, it doesn't desert us. It convicts us, but it never condemns us. It refines us, but it never lets us go. Come on, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. I want to read us another, something that the response for me personally is. I found in 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. This space is as for me as a believer, is where I want to live from and where I live from. Is we love because he loved us first. With this great love that he loved me, it's easy to love others. It's easy to lay down my life and say, Lord, I'm yours, God. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, I'm yours, Lord, because you loved me so well. And you continue to love me so well, undeservedly. So if he loves us like this, how can we have cold hearts towards our brothers? How can we be cold to others? That's my challenge. That's my challenge for myself and my challenge for us as God's people. If he's loved us so well, how can our hearts be cold to others? This love that pours into us should then pour out of us and pour into us and pour out of us. It should be doing this the whole time. So let his love change your home. Start at home. Let your family be changed by that love. Let it change your marriage. Let God teach you how to love. Let it soften your words. Let it shape your daily walk every day. Let his love shape that. Because his love is perfected in those of us who are believing. His love is for the humble, his love is for the hungry, and his love is for those who dare to believe in him. I'm going to finish with this. Yes. Oh, I'm going to try. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
It's been so amazing hearing about all these things about God. Like as we've followed through from his goodness, his glory, his grace, and all these character attributes of God. And when it comes to his faithfulness, it's his faithfulness about his character, about these things that we keep hearing about from the people around us. It's the stories that's been told since Adam and Eve. It's come a long time. And it's our belief in those stories. So, I was thinking about this and thinking about the Lord's faithfulness. And where do we even start explaining his faithfulness? And, man, I think it's addressing that thing of what is truth. Actually, from the beginning. Because God says that he is. And he is. There's nothing greater, there's nothing less, there's nothing more. God is. And that thing of if we go back in time, to before the earth was formed, God is. And if we go into time when Adam and Eve was in the garden, God is. And forward 2,000 years to when Jesus was crucified on the cross, God is. And today when we're sitting here, God is. He is. Come on. Yeah. And this thing of truth, isn't it? It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It is. God is. And when we think about gravity, if you don't believe in gravity, you don't float away. No one floats away. And the same it is with God. He is. It doesn't matter if you believe in him or not, but he is. And he has been faithful to his word from the beginning of time up until now. When he speaks about his compassion and his love and his grace and his mercy, we read the stories. And I would like to show you stories about his faithfulness. And this is in Hebrews 11 verse, I just got to find the right ones here, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac to the, and he had received the promises, wait, sorry. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, to whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And that, as much as it speaks about Abraham's faith in God, it speaks about God's faithfulness to provide to an old man a son and to make him into a great nation. And we see that happen. We see from the line of Abraham how a nation is made. And this is in the beginning of time. And then we can fast forward to the Israelites coming out of Egypt and passing through the Red Sea in Hebrews 11, verse 29 to 30. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And this, as much as it speaks about the faith of the people, it speaks about God's faithfulness to what he says. What he is saying is his doing. And it's for us to know that his saying is his doing. And as much as he said things to the people in Israel, he's saying things to us now. And I want to go to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. This is a big jump into the New Testament. It's when Jesus speaks. It's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house and it fell. and great was the fall of it. So God is, he is. It's in our hands to have faith, to trust him that he is. And I promise you, when you leap, take that leap of faith to say, Lord, you say this is who you are. I will put my trust in who you say you are, Lord. Today, as we come to you, Lord, we come to you in faith and knowing that you are our Savior. Like for all of us that sit here, you are our Savior. You saved us. Like Colin's story, man, come on. And the moments that he reached out, God does answer. And he does answer. It's not a thing of maybe for someone else he might answer. No, God is. He is and he will answer. He says so. So we got to take him at his word. Yeah, and I mean, faith is not us testing him. It's not. It's him showing who he is. It's what he's called us to do. He's saying these things so we can actually do what he's called us to do. And there's work for us to be done. So when it comes to God's faith, I don't know how better to explain it just than to say that he is. He is. He has been, he is, and he will forever be. Before time, in time, and after time, he is. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are. I know this was probably very short, but he is. He is. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Lord, can we close our eyes? Can we maybe dim the lights as well? Can we just for a moment think how vast his love is, how vast his grace is, how far stretching his love has been to spark something even in David, to tell him that a Savior will come from your line. And for hundreds of years being faithful to his promises to David and then sending Jesus so we can be set free. So we can be set free and be made known to the King so that we have a way into eternity. Because just as he has been faithful to his promises, he's also just. And he made a way. He made a way for us to come into his kingdom. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are. You are the great I am, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be revealed to us, Lord, beyond time, that our hope would be in eternity, Lord. And beyond this time, beyond this earth, beyond the provision and the things of this time, Lord, that it would be in eternity. And where you've brought us, Lord, where you're taking us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.